السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. Jazakallah. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Maryam, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا, and your Lord is not forgetful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't forget anything, except that He explained to humanity what was halal and what was haram. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Just as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had said in the authentic hadith, مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ فَهُوَ حَلَالٌ وَمَا حَرَّمَ فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ وَمَا سَكَتَ عَنْهُ فَهُوَ عَفْوٌ فَقَبَلُوا مِنَ اللَّهِ عَفِيَتَهُ وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيَنْسَى شَيْئًا ثُمَّ تَلَى وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in this authentic narration of Imam Hakim, and this narration is authentic, alhamdulillah, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, whatever Allah has made halal in His book, the Quran, it is halal. And whatever He made haram, then it is haram. And whatever He has not mentioned, then it is a pardon from Him. So accept from Him His pardon and know that He didn't forget anything. And then he read, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the verse, and your Lord is not forgetful. This issue of drugs, just like every other issue that faces our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dealt with it in the Quran. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed us when He said, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. This day I perfected for you your deen and completed my favor to you and has chosen for you Islam as a deen, as a way of life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, He's dealt with every issue that's going to face us in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with it. And we're going to look at this issue of drugs, inshallah ta'ala, as we look at every single issue that faces us in our lives, in light of the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This issue of drugs, it's been a concern for humanity for some time. as we see the statement of the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the second Khalifa to the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam, and the second best person of this Ummah after his Prophet alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam, Abu Hafsan Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu al-Faruq. He said, Allahumma bayyin lana fil khamri bayana shafa'an. فنزلت التي في البقرة يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر قل فيهما إثم كبير الآية فدعي عمر فقريت عليه قال اللهم بين لنا في الخمر بيان شفاء فنزلت التي في النساء يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى فدعي عمر فقريت عليه ثم قال اللهم بين لنا بيان شفاء شفاء فنزلت التي في المائدة إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر إلى قوله فهل أنتم منتهون فدعي عمر فقريت عليه فقال انتهينا. And this is collected by Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood and others, and it's authentic. Where Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, O Allah, make it clear to us your verdict concerning khamr. And khamr is whatever intoxicates. Explain to us your verdict, O Allah, explain to us the verdict concerning khamr with a very clear explanation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-Baqarah, and they ask you concerning khamr and maysir. And maysir is gambling. Say, and both of them is a magnificent sin, is a big sin. And the rest of the ayah. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he was called and they recited this ayah to him. And afterwards he said, O Allah, make your verdict clear to us concerning khamr, extremely clear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah in Surah An-Nisa, O you who believe, do not come near the salah while you are intoxicated. So Umar was called again and they recited the ayah to him. And he said, O Allah, explain to us with a clear explanation your verdict concerning khamr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Shaytan only wants to put between you hatred and enmity concerning khamr, or because of the reason of khamr and gambling, until he went to the ayah, to the end of the ayah, and will you leave it alone? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was called for this ayah, and it was read to him, and he says, that's enough, that's enough. And this is collected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi. Here in this hadith of Umar, and this narration, this athar of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, we see, firstly, the sincerity of Umar radiallahu anhu and the Sahaba in general. That whenever anything troubled them, they went straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to the people, but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and asked Allah, O Allah, make this issue clear to me. And this is advice for us in general, that anything that troubles us in our lives, we have to take our affair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Not to the people, but to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as we see the example of Umar radiallahu anhu. We also see that Umar radiallahu anhu, when the ayah was revealed, he asked the question again. Oh Allah, make it clear to us. Oh Allah, make it clear to us. Until he finally said, that's enough, it's clear. Here we see the understanding of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the Sahaba in general, that they understood what was going on from the verses of the Quran, and that they knew clearly the verdicts that stemmed from them. And for this reason, we rely on the understanding of the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the understanding of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They knew exactly, as we see from the questioning of Umar or the dua of Umar, that they knew exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling them. And this is something that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala blessed the first Muslims with, as opposed to many of us who have come after them in understanding the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As many of the Sahaba have said when they were reciting the Quran or quoting hadith, or when they heard people recite the Quran or quote the hadith, they used to say, "You misunderstand that ayat that you read." And this is common amongst the people. And for this, we have to go back to the understanding of the Sahaba. And this is what we call the Da'wah to Salafiyya, understanding the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa radiyallahu anhum. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed, as the ulama explain, as we see from this narration of Umar, that the first thing that Allah revealed concerning this issue of khamr or intoxicants, and khamr, as we're going to see inshallah, it covers everything that intoxicants, whether it's a beverage, whether it's natural or synthetic, so long as it intoxicates, is khamr. So khamr is anything that intoxicates, and it's not the way that we used to think, or some Muslims think, that khamr is alcoholic beverages and every other type of intoxicant is okay. No, khamr is any type of intoxicant. And this is the understanding of Umar radiallahu anhu, as he says in the hadith of At-Tirmidhi, before the hadith that we quoted, he said that khamr is whatever intoxicates the mind. And this is the understanding of Umar. Is someone going to come later and say he reads the Quran and Allah says khamr, and that means intoxicated alcoholic beverages and nothing else, after the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was right on the scene when these ayats were revealed and they understood them correctly as they practiced them in front of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam? Khamr is whatever intoxicates the mind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed the ayah 219 from Surah Al-Baqarah, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلِ الْعَفْوُ كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they ask you concerning khamr and gambling. Say, and both of them is a major sin, is a big sin. And there is some benefit for the people. But the sin of both of them is greater than the benefit of both of them. And they ask you concerning giving charity, say, al-afu, and that is to give that which is extra from your means, to give it in charity, meaning outside of your necessities and what have you. This is how Allah explains to you His ayah, so perchance that you can reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is answering the question that was asked by the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, as they were asking concerning khamr and also gambling. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made it very clear that the sin of both of them is great. And this is in the dunya and in the deen. In the deen, because you're practicing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made haram. And in the dunya, and I wanted to mention some of the examples, as one of the ulama of tafsir, Imam al-Qasimi, who died about 100 years ago or so from Sham, he had mentioned that the kuffar had some conferences during his time about alcohol, alcoholic beverages, and the effects of this on the body. And they listed, and he listed about 25 harms from this intoxicants, that it makes you lazy, that it distorts your mind, it makes you commit more sins, that it harms your body, that if you have children, when you're taking drugs, that it even affects them, and then on and on and on from the causes of alcoholic beverages and intoxicants in general. And nobody needs to mention them to us, as what he was mentioning, as he's a Muslim, mentioning these faults or the problems of taking this khamr, he's mentioning it as he's looking through at this issue through the eyes of a Muslim. But most of us, we've lived jahiliyyah, and we still see the jahiliyyah, and no one needs to explain to us the evil and the sin of intoxicants, as there's no escape from any one of us from knowing them as we live them every day. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are benefit in them, in khamr and in gambling, that benefit is only in the dunya, not in someone's deen. In the dunya because it tastes good to them, and because it makes them feel good, and because if you sell it, you're going to get paid in full. This is the benefit of the dunya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning. This isn't some real benefit for a person to take this khamr to say, oh, I'm going to still continue to use it because there's some benefit in it. That benefit is worldly benefit that won't benefit you in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in the sight of Allah is clearly haram and prohibited. And the same thing for gambling. You don't even have to go to work to earn your money. Just roll your dice right and you're okay. Your number come up and you're okay. This is the benefit of gambling. This is only a worldly benefit, and there's no benefit in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the first ayah revealed concerning khamr. As at this time the Muslims used to drink just like the kuffar. At the time this ayah was revealed, the Muslims used to drink just like the kuffar. And even after the ayah, the Muslims continued to drink until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah from Surah An-Nisa, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُولُونَ. To the end of the ayah from Surah An-Nisa, verse number 43. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the belief that we say we have in Allah in the last day. O you who believe. Do not go near the salah when you are intoxicated until you know what you say. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited the Muslims from drinking around the salah times. And this would force the Muslims to drink or to take intoxicants after they make salah, in order to get high or whatever and to let it go down before the next salah come in. Or to wait till after Isha, where you can have your fun and go to sleep and then wake up and come to the masjid and make the salah. So the Muslims, after this ayah, they were still using intoxicants. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only made the prohibition around the times of salah. The Muslims then, they didn't understand from this ayah, oh, I'm intoxicated, don't make salah. But they understood, I gotta watch when I use my intoxicants. Because I have to make my five salah five times a day. So I gotta watch where I'm getting intoxicated so that it doesn't affect my salah. As the difference between a Muslim and a kafir is the establishment of the salah. There are narrations concerning also the revelation of this ayah, as we see in the narration of Abu Dawood, which adds to the hadith of Umar that we're quoting. He added on this part, فَكَانَ مُنَادِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ يُنَادِي لَا يَقْرَبَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ سُكْرَانَ. That in the narration of Abu Dawood, it said that the muadhin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at the time of establishing the salat, he would say, don't come to the salat whoever is drunk. Whoever is drunk, then don't come to the salah. So here also we see that if the people didn't take heed because of the imam was weak, and they didn't try to get drunk around the salah times, that if the salah time came, then the muezzin would say, whoever is drunk, then don't come by the salah. Don't come to make the salah if you're drunk. The other narration also, collected by Abu Dawood in At-Tirmidhi, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, أَنَّ رَجُلًا مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ دَعَاهُ وَعَبْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ ابْنِ عَوْفٍ فَسَقَاهُمَا قَبْلَ أَنْ تَحْرُمَ الْخَمَرِ فَأَمَّهُمْ عَلِيٌّ فِي الْمَغْرِبِ فَقَرَأَ قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ فَخَلَطَ فِيهِمَا فَنَزَلَتْ لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُولُونَ. وَزَادَ الترمذي فِي قِرَاءَةُ سُورَةِ الْكَافِرِينَ نَحْنُ نَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. Here Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said that a man from the Ansar invited him over and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and he poured them some alcoholic beverages. And this was before the prohibition of khamr. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he led them in Salatul Maghrib. And he read, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. And he was making mistakes in that surah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, don't go near the salah when you are intoxicated until you know what you say. And the narration of Tirmidhi, it said that when he was reciting this Surah Al-Kafirun, and I'll give the meaning, oh you, I don't worship what you worship. But he read, we worship what you worship. We worship what you worship, but you don't worship what we worship. So you can see when you're reciting Surah Al-Kafirun and making a mistake, and this is only one of the examples in making a mistake and the recitation of the Quran because you're intoxicated and how far it can go. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse in order to keep the Muslims away from this intoxicating beverages and any type of intoxicant while they're making the salah. And this is the second ayat revealed concerning this issue of khamr. However, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he understood from both of these ayahs that it wasn't prohibited. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just discouraging us in the first ayah because of the sin connecting with it. And then the second ayah that is going to mess our salat up if we don't watch it and we have to make our salat five times a day. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wanted more, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal in Surah Al-Ma'idah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ في الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون. Verses 90 and 91 from Surah Al-Ma'idah. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the prohibition of khamr final and complete and clear. And after this verse, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said it's over. Meaning this issue, the verdict of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala concerning khamr was clear, as Allah says, O you who believe, khamr and gambling and ansab and azlam, and these are other types of sins, are rijis, are najis, are filthy from the actions of the shaitan, so stay away from them so that perchance you may be successful. The shaytan, he only wants to place between you hatred and enmity because of your use of khamr and gambling, and to prevent you from remembering Allah and from making the salah, so won't you stay away from it. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verses 91 and 90, that he makes it clear that khamr has been prohibited all the way. And that this is haram in Islam, and it's not for the people to use some of the verses in the Quran to think that khamr is okay. I just won't do it while I'm going to make the salah. No, khamr is haram, point blank, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed this verse, just as Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu had explained. And one of the ulama, he mentioned that in this ayah, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these two ayahs, in 7 points, has made this khamr or the intoxicants haram. And he says the first point is that Allah says, O you who believe, that this indeed khamr and maysir and Ansab and Al-Azlam, that they're najis, and anything najis is haram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing this khamr as rijis, as filthy, and this shows that it's haram. The second point is that it's from the actions of the shaitan, and this also shows that it's haram, because it's one of the actions of the shaitan. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so stay away from it. And this shows that it's haram. And this is point number 3. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that perchance you may be successful. And this is point number 4. If you want to be successful, stay away from it. And this also shows that it's haram. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the shaytan, he wants to place hatred and enmity amongst you, amongst the Muslims, from the use of this. And whatever is going to cause hatred and enmity amongst the Muslims, then this is haram. And this is point number 5. And point number 6 is that it prevents you from remembering Allah and from making the salah. And this is point number 6 to show that it's haram. And point number 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so won't you make it prohibited? So won't you stay away from it? And this is point number 7. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all through these ayahs, is showing that khamr is haram, that intoxicants is haram. And this is the first point of the points that we wanted to make tonight. And that is that drugs is haram. That drugs are haram. So that no Muslim will take it for granted that the Muslims know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, He made it very clear to us in these verses that khamr is haram. Just as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and many authentic hadith showed us that khamr was haram, as He said, kullu muskirin khamrun wa kullu khamrun haram. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in the hadith of Al-Bukhari Muslim, He said, everything that intoxicates is khamr, and every khamr is haram. Everything that intoxicates is khamr, and every khamr is haram. And this is the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the narration of Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, He says, مَا أَسْكَرَ كَثِيرُهُ فَقَلِيلُهُ حَرَامٌ. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, whatever intoxicates in large amounts, then the small amount of it is haram. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing, as some people may have built their tolerance up in the days of Jahiliyyah, so much so that if they drunk a can of beer, they wouldn't even get drunk. If you drink one can of beer slow, you wouldn't even get drunk. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam makes it clear, you can't even consider that permissible because you didn't get drunk. To have your argument to say, whatever intoxicates is haram. You say, I don't get intoxicated from drinking a can of beer or smoking one joint. I used to have to take, astaghfirullah, whatever to get drunk or to get high. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, He made it clear, so long as there is amount of using that substance that will get you intoxicated, then that thing is haram. And that proves that you can't take one puff or one sip of any intoxicant, even though it won't intoxicate you, because it's haram, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam explained, so long as a lot of it will intoxicate you, then a small amount of it is haram. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is covering all of the drugs, and in all of the amounts of it, that it is haram. And this is, alhamdulillah, one of the miracles of the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and one of the proofs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen is perfect and complete to Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that is that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, He made crack haram even though He wasn't here to witness it alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is the miracle of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that He made crack haram before it even came. Come 1400 years after Him, and He made the verdict already that crack is haram. How did He make it haram, alayhi salatu wasalam? When He said, whatever intoxicates. And so long as crack came along and intoxicates, then it's haram. And until Yawm al-Qiyamah, anything that comes that intoxicates, then it's haram. And this shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen is perfect and complete, and that the verdicts are with us until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that there's nothing that can come up in our lives except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already dealt with it. And it's not for us to think that because the Quran was revealed to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in the desert 1400 years ago, that it doesn't apply in the cities nowadays 1400 years later. Islam applies all the time, and this is just one example. And the examples could be a lecture in itself, just showing all of the things that are now, that weren't there during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and the verdict of Allah and His Messenger concerning those things that are new. Everything that faces us has a verdict from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, and this is the completion of this deen. So here we're seeing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam have made khamr haram. And I wanted to take a look at some of the other hadith just to make it even clearer to us that this khamr or intoxicants is haram. As we see from the hadith of Ibn Majah, and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, مُدْمِنُ الْخَمْرِ كَعَابِدِ وَثَنٍ, that the one who drinks khamr or takes intoxicants is like the one who worships idols. That the one who drinks khamr is like the one who worships idols. And we hope that these texts from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam is sufficient enough to help us recover and leaving off those drugs. Because whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah would make a way out for him, as Allah tells us, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And whoever fears Allah, Allah would make a way out for him. And this is one of the best ways to cure the addict from his addiction, is to recite to him the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Hopefully it will touch his heart and chase him away from that which he was tied to. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in the narration of Imam Muslim, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْغَضُ الْخَمْرَ وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهَ سَيُنزِلُ فِيهَا أَمْرًا فَمَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ مِنْهَا شَيْءٌ فَلْيَبِعْهُ وَلْيَنْتَفِعْ بِهِ قال فما لبثنا إلا يسيرا حتى قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله حرم الخمر فمن أدركته هذه الآية وعنده منها شيء فلا يشرب ولا يبيع قال فاستقبل الناس بما كان عندهم منها طرق المدينة فسفكوها أخرجه مسلم. The Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said in this narration of Imam Muslim, O humanity, indeed Allah hates khamr. O humanity, indeed Allah hates khamr. And maybe Allah, or perhaps Allah, would reveal something to us concerning this khamr very soon. And this was the time before khamr was made haram. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, whoever has some khamr, then sell it or benefit from it. Then sell it or benefit from it. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, at this time before it was made haram, he said to sell it and to take some benefit from this khamr after you know that something's wrong with it. Then it was just a little while after that where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, indeed Allah has made khamr haram. Indeed, Allah has prohibited khamr. And this is for the people who think that the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those seven ways that Allah made this khamr haram, for the person who says, I still don't see it. Because Allah didn't say, Allah prohibits khamr. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam laid it out to make it very clear for the most ignorant from among us who thinks that Allah didn't make it haram. Indeed, Allah made khamr haram. So whoever has this ayah, meet him. And these are the ayahs from Surah Al-Ma'idah. And he has some khamr left over in his house. And then don't use it and don't sell it. Then don't use it and don't sell it. And this is for all of the Muslims who may have been involved with this. When these ayah and these hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam comes to him, don't think that I might as well sell it before I repent. And this is what we tell the people who accept Islam. Don't sell it and don't use it up before you accept Islam or after you accept Islam because you don't want to waste your money. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sincere repentance and don't use it and don't sell it. And don't use it and don't sell it. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and the other narration of Imam Muslim, he says, Ya fulan, ama alimta anna Allah haramaha فأقبل الرجل على غلامه فقال اذهب فبعها فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الذي حرم شربها حرم بيعها. The Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام in this narration, he said to the man, don't you know that Allah has made khamr haram? So the man, he told his boy, hurry up and go sell it. So the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said, indeed the one who made it haram, he made the selling of it haram. And I forgot to mention in the narration of Imam Muslim that when the Muslims heard this prohibition of the khamr, that all of the people, they went to the khamr that was left over and they poured it out in the streets of Medina. And this was because of the iman of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And we don't see this with the iman of ourselves. Because we don't see when we left Islam, when we left Jahiliyyah and accepted Islam, many of us know that it took how long to shake that thing. And this shows that the people who came before us were better. That when they heard the prohibition, they acted upon it. But us, when we hear it, we still want to continue to get high until it feels better, until it feels better for us to leave it alone. To go years and years and years inside of Islam, continuing to use the intoxicants until we let it go. And this shows the weakness of the iman that we have as opposed to the iman of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhu. Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah, he has some nice stories concerning this issue of khamr, showing its prohibition. As Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah, he mentions the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and all of these hadith are authentic. يَشْرَبُوا نَاسٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَمْرِ يُسَمُّونَهَا بِغَيْرِ اسْمِهَا. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, there will be some people from my ummah who will drink khamr and they will name it from other than its proper name. As when we were overseas, they used to call it Musi. Musi is the so-called alcoholic beverage with alcoholic in it, with alcohol in it. As the kuffar, they say, so long as it, I don't know what the rule is now, so long as it's less than 2% alcohol, then you can call it non-alcoholic. And this is from the deception of the kuffar and the shaitan. Surushi, or whatever they call it. The Japanese thing, and all of the Muslims were getting high on it, calling it shuruzi instead of calling it khamr. And this is khamr. Just as some of the people, they used to call it roots. And to say that it was natural or whatever, that this comes from the earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, trying to make it permissible. All of that stuff is khamr and all of it's haram. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, here, and this is a miracle from among his miracles, and it's proof of his prophethood, that he said that the Muslims will be doing this, naming it by other than the names. When the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam could have just said, as in other narrations, that people from my ummah will drink khamr, but the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said they will name it by other than its name. And this is a way in order to make it halal. And their eyesight, they think that they're okay. But the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is making it very clear to us that it's haram, no matter what name you name that khamr. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in the famous hadith, and this is also from Al-Bukhari and Muslim, وَلَا يَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرَ شَارِبُهَا حِينَ يَشْرَبُهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. That no one drinks khamr or partakes in the intoxicants while he's while he's in the state of using the intoxicants is a believer. And here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is just showing in other languages, in another language, the prohibition of khamr. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, من شرب الخمر فجلدوه ثم إن شرب فجلدوه ثم إن شرب فجلدوه ثم إن شرب فقتلوه. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, whoever drinks khamr, then beat him with lashes, with the whip, or like the broomstick. And if he drinks it again, beat him again. And if he drinks it again, beat him again. And if he does it for the fourth time, kill him. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is using a strong language to show the prohibition of this khamr. And what more do we need from than the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, if he can't shake it, kill him. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in another narration, إِذَا سَكِرَ فَجْلِدُوا ثُمَّ إِن سَكِرَ فَجْلِدُوا ثُمَّ إِن سَكِرَ فَجْلِدُوا ثُمَّ قَالَ فِي الرَّابِعِ فَضْرِبُوا عُنُقَهُ. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, whoever becomes intoxicated, then beat him. And whoever comes intoxicated, beat him. And whoever becomes intoxicated, beat him. And he said, for the fourth time, cut his head off. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is making it very clear to us that this khamr is haram. And we see in a narration of Uthman, radiallahu anhu, and I'll just bring the translation of it. He says, stay far away from khamr. Because indeed it is the mother of the sins. Meaning every sin that you do, it stems from this khamr or these intoxicants. He says, indeed there was a man from the people who came before you, who used to be among those people who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a deviant lady, a sinner, a loose lady, she came attracted to him. So she said to him, indeed, I'm calling you to come along with me. So the man went with the lady until every time, so the man, he went along with this lady. And then the lady was taking him through the house. And every time she got to a door, she locked the door behind them. And then they go to the next door and she locked the door behind them. And every time, the farther they went in the house, the more she would lock the door. Until she said, I have a young boy with me and I have some khamr, some intoxicants. So the lady said, I swear by Allah that I'm calling you to come along with me again. But I'm not calling you just to come along with me. I'm calling you to fornicate with me. Or to drink some of this khamr that will make you fornicate with me. Or that you will kill this little boy. So he drank some of the khamr, a glass of it. And then he wanted to fornicate with the lady after he drank a glass of it. And then he kept on drinking until he actually fornicated with the lady and killed the boy. So then Uthman radiallahu anhu, after this story, he said, so stay away from khamr. Because indeed I swear by Allah that this khamr and belief will not be together in the heart of one person. Or he said in the other narration, I swear by Allah that iman or belief and taking of intoxicants won't be together, but one of them has to go. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, the third khalifa after the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he's giving us this story just to show us in general that khamr is haram and that we should stay away from it because other sins stay away from it. And during this time, as we know, during the Christmas season of the kuffar, they know that I think that there's more car accidents because of khamr and suicides and what have you because of this khamr. As this is the time or the season when khamr becomes more halal to the disbelievers than the rest of the year. And because of it, more of the sins are apparent in the society during this time than other times because of the use of this khamr. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, whoever drinks khamr, then his salat will not be accepted so long as he has the intoxicant inside of his veins. And if he dies in that state, then he dies as a kafir. And if he doesn't repent, then his salat will not be accepted for 40 nights. And if he dies in that state, then he dies as a kafir. So here we're seeing from these texts, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, and from the companions, that this khamr is haram. And we had covered before, as some people had felt that we don't cover social issues because we only deal with the Quran and the Sunnah. Then this issue of drugs had come up in the masjid quite a few times. But this is because of the deviant Muslims who are away from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and they think that the so-called social problems or economical problems are more prevalent in our society than learning or the ignorance of the Quran and the Sunnah, so that we need to deal with these problems more than we need to deal with learning the Quran and the Sunnah. This is ignorance and deviance in Islam. We have to hold fast to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam if we're going to be successful. Next, all of this looking at the social problems and dealing with them. We look at the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and then apply them in our lives, and then everything else will fall in line. The social problems, we can deal with them if we know the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. The economical problems, we know how to deal with them if we know the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. There's no problem that's going to face anybody except that it's already been dealt with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this is why our main concern is the Book of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our concern. And this is what we're striving for, to learn the Quran and the Sunnah. Because this is our way of life. We don't have to go to some psychologist, astaghfirullah. As one of the sisters was calling, saying, I got a problem. Is there any Muslim psychologist or sociologist or someone that can help me deal with my problems? Is there anyone that can help you deal with your problems better than Allah? Is there anyone that can give you more guidance in your problems than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? All of these people, they offer nothing in their NA programs and whatever other program they have. It offers nothing to benefit no one. And the only benefit that someone's going to gain is holding on to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is to answer the question before it comes. So what about NA and all of those groups? And what should a person do if he can't find himself able to shake the addiction, to go to the masjid and learn the Quran and the Sunnah? This is the solution to the problem. If you're an addict and you want to get right, learn the Quran and the Sunnah and you'll get right, inshallah ta'ala. But if you waste your time with all of this foolishness, which is really Christianity and whatever else they have in these groups, then you'll just go farther and farther astray, as some of the people do. First, the drugs gets them, and then they go to NA, and then kufr gets them. So you drop out of one thing into something worse than it. If someone wants to cure himself with whatever problem he has, then turn to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is the solution. Turn to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and to His book, and to the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said, whoever, and this is just the translation of the hadith of Tirmidhi, whoever takes khamr, then his salat will not be accepted for 40 mornings. And this narration, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is saying the salah for 40 mornings, meaning salatul fajr, maybe because of its importance, as some of the ulama are saying, or maybe it's just referring to the salah in general. And some of the ulama, they even stretch it a little to say that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was saying salah because of its importance, but he meant everything else less than that. But the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam meant everything else less than that won't be accepted for 40 nights. And then if he repents after he was intoxicated and used intoxicants, then Allah would accept his repentance. And this here is that which would help a person who's stuck on his addiction to let it go, to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could accept his repentance. But it's not over if you get caught out there. But there's always a way to turn to Allah, and whoever turns to Allah, Allah turns to him. Whoever asks Allah to accept his repentance, then Allah would accept his repentance. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and whoever goes back to it again, then Allah won't accept his salah for 40 mornings. And here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, we're saying in this narration and the other narrations that he's always mentioning going back to it. And most of us, or most of the people know that if you get hooked on that thing, that it's not too many people who just shake it right there. But that they go back and then they stop and then they go back and they stop, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing. And whoever goes back to it again, then the salat won't be accepted for 40 mornings. And if he repents after that, then Allah would accept his repentance. And if he goes back to it a third time, then Allah won't accept his salat for 40 mornings. And if he repents, then Allah would accept his repentance. And if he goes back to it for the fourth time, then Allah would not accept his salat for 40 mornings. And if he repents after the fourth time, then Allah won't accept his repentance. But that Allah would give him a drink of Nahrul Khibal. And they asked, O Abu Abdurrahman, and this is the kunya of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma, what is Nahrul Khibal? And he said, it is the river of pus of the people of the hellfire. And this will be their drink for drinking that stuff in this dunya. And we just said, and I used to use this as an example, you can imagine, and this is what they will get in the hellfire. If it was just in the dunya, if it was in the dunya, as we gave their case, if the judge said, you got 20 years, or 20 glasses of pus and blood of some sick people. So they take you to the hospital, and where the people have pus and stuff, then they're just scraping the pus off and they're filling the glasses up with this pus and blood. And you see the people moaning and stuff, and then they're just showing you. 1, 2, 3, 4. And they say, listen, you just drink this 20 glasses, you don't have to do no time, just go home. Take some aspirin or some Pepto Bismol or something, you'll be alright. Who would take 20 glasses of the pus of the people of this world? And what about the pus of the people of the hellfire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing, this is going to be your reward for keep going back into that stuff. Okay, Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is making it clear that it can be understood. Maybe you dip into it, you can't shake it, you dip back, can't shake it, you dip back, before you finally get rid of that thing. But if you keep going back and back and back, you're going to be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He won't accept your repentance. And this is what the people need to know who still hung on those drugs from among the Muslims. Your Islam might not even benefit you, being stuck on this stuff. And you got to shake it and get rid of it before you die on that thing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't even accept your Islam from you. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah Muhammad, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey His Messenger, and don't render your deeds invalid. Don't render all of your good deeds null and void because of your disobedience to Allah and His Messenger.
So don't think that because you Muslim and you still on that thing that Allah is going to accept that Islam from you. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Jin, وَمَنْ يَعَصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. That whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, indeed for him is the fire of Jahannam abiding therein forever and ever. It's not easy just to disobey Allah and to disobey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We have to tell the Muslims who haven't shaken that thing yet, Akhi, you might enter into the hellfire and abide there forever for not shaking that thing. Your Islam might not even benefit you for not shaking that drug problem you have. And this is the harshness coming from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam on this issue. And this is the point we have to make very clear to the Muslims who haven't shaken that problem. You better shake it before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes you with the hellfire. We think we left jahiliyyah for Jannah. We left kufr because we wanted Jannah. Who among us left kufr to enter the hellfire? This issue of drugs is not no light issue. And the Muslims have to take it seriously. And we can't be like the deviant Muslims. And this is only an example of the deviance of some of those people I knew was down with Master al-Dirar. When I came here, there was the brother Muqtasid. He used to be in the masjid all day, every day when I first came here to East Orange. And this was a sign of his iman. And then the shaitan caught him and he slipped out there. And then when I didn't see him here, I asked the brothers, where is he? Because I love to look at the brothers who stay in the masjid all day. So the brothers told me, Abu Muslima, he's okay. Don't worry about it. I know where he's at. He's alright. How in the world can you know your brother is out there on that stuff and you say he's okay? Because you don't understand Islam. You don't understand that brother could wind up in the hellfire forever and ever because of that stuff he didn't shake that you thought was okay. It was okay in Jahiliyyah, it ain't okay in Islam. This issue of drugs is real serious and the Muslims have to know that you might enter the hellfire forever over that thing. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing across to us to frighten us away from those intoxicants. And this is the point we want to get across firstly. After this point, we want to look at drugs in another light. But first we want to understand this first light of this issue of drugs. That it's a serious problem. And it's not minor. And nobody should overlook it. And no Muslim should think he's over if he's still on those drugs dipping back in and back out. You might not come back. Or you might come back and it won't be accepted. This thing is real serious. And the Muslims have to take it serious. And this is how we can advise the brothers who are still out there to advise them of the seriousness of this issue. And if they really have some iman in their hearts, then they'll shake that thing. If they have some iman in their hearts, they'll shake that thing. Just like we shook saying Jesus is God. Some people used to love the Trinity. As some of the people who haven't accepted Islam, they say everything about Islam is the truth, but he just got to be the Son. People can't shake that thing. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally allows them to shake it, and they embrace Islam. And people have embraced Islam, and this was the hardest point for them to shake. But they know they gotta shake it, or they go into the hellfire. Nix all of that, everything is okay, and I believe in it. If you can't shake that Trinity thing, then you want to wind up in the hellfire. And we gotta look at this drug problem the same way. If you can't shake this thing, then you might wind up in the hellfire. On the other hand, and this is from the guidance of Islam in general, on the other hand, it's not over. On the other hand, if you can't shake it, it's not over. As we see from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that we had skipped in our purification of the souls class on Monday, so that the people can see that in reading the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and reading the ayat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that it deals with all of our problems. And that we don't necessarily have to single out any lecture for drugs or any of the problems that face us, because these issues are dealt with sometimes in the salah. These issues are dealt with in the salah by just reading the Qur'an. When we come to make the salah, and we read the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing all of the issues in our lives in just the salah. So we don't even have to look past the salah to look for the classes to deal with these issues. And no Muslim should let his tongue be so deviant and corrupt to say that the Muslims don't deal with particular topics. That all they deal with is the Qur'an and the Sunnah. As that, astaghfirullah, as that brother was saying. How are you going to apply that out there? How in the world can you read these ayah and these hadith and you say, how are you going to apply that out there? Anyone who reads these hadith, you see how this these hadith are applied to your lives. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, rather, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says, أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِرَجُلٍ قَدْ شَرِبَ قَالَ اُضْرِبُوا قَالَ اِضْرِبُوا قَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَ فَمِنَّ الضَّارِبُ بِيَدِهِ وَالضَّارِبُ بِنَعْلِهِ وَالضَّارِبُ بِثَوْبِهِ فَلَمَّا انْصَرَفَ قَالَ بَعْضُ الْقَوْمِ أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ قال لا تقولوا هذا لا تعينوا عليه الشيطان. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that a man was brought to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam for using intoxicants. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, beat him. So Abu Huraira said, some of us were beating him with our hands. And some of us were beating him with our shoes. And some of us were beating him with our clothes. And at first I was thinking, how can you hurt somebody by beating him with your clothes? And then I thought of the days when we used to go to the swimming pool and you roll your towel up and dip it in water and pop it. And then you see how even the clothing can hurt someone. And then comes the point that we want to show on the other side of this issue of drugs. When he left, some of the people said, may Allah disgrace him. May Allah disgrace him for being caught out there on that thing. May Allah disgrace him. You got to be beat down in front of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, after you said you believed in him. May Allah disgrace you. And the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, and this is advice to us, do not say that. Do not help the shaytan against him. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us the other side. If the brother gets caught out there, that it's never over with, inshallah ta'ala. And that we shouldn't just have that attitude, oh, he's okay. He does this regularly. He'll be back. But we have to go out there and to help him. And not to talk bad to him. And to curse him out and so on. But to use a language that's going to be inviting. To work with him. To use whatever advice that we have to bring that brother back to obedience to Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam is giving us advice and guidance. That even though he's still stuck on it, it's not over with. And we shouldn't let the shaitan help him. By just leaving him. Go get the brother and bring him back. Go be with the brother. Spend time with the brother. Akhi, let me hang out with you for the day. We know we off of work. Just hang out with the brother all day long. Don't let him go out there and be with those other people. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is showing us, just don't let your brother go. Don't let the shaitan get him. Always work with him. always do your best to keep him. Because it's not over just because a person is drunk. Or because just a person is high. Or because he can't shake that thing. He still might have some iman in his heart. As from the narration of Imam al-Bukhari, where a person was beat all the time in front of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, so the people started saying, may the curse of Allah be on him. And they started talking badly about him. And the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, don't say that, because he loves Allah and his Messenger. And this is possible for the person who's stuck on intoxicants to love Allah and his Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. And we have to know this about our brothers and sisters in Islam. That even if they get caught out there, it doesn't really negate their faith. And that all of those statements that we heard in the beginning part of the lecture is in order to frighten the people and bring them back. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam does it in the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah comes all the way like this until you, it feels like it ain't no hope if you don't get this thing right. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes back on the other hand and shows it's so much hope, like even if you don't never get it right, you're going to be okay. And this is the heart of the real believer, that he's always between fearing the punishment of Allah and desiring the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama, they say whoever hearts go too much to this side or that side, they'll be destroyed. Just like the Khawarij, they went too much to this side. They said any time you get caught out there in that haram, you're going straight to the hellfire. It's over with, case closed. There's no mercy for the person who get caught out there. On the other hand, the Murjiya, they said, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. Knock yourself out, sin all the way until you die, because Allah is merciful. Those people went too far that way and they astray. And the people went too far this way and they're astray. And we have to be in the middle. And the middle means being correct. The middle means being correct in accordance with the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The middle means being correct. And Islam, a lot of times we call it the middle way. And we say take the middle course. That's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we look at the extremes of the people, He showed us that Islam was the middle way. But not from our own desires are we going to show it's the middle way. I got three prostitutes in front of me. I'm going to take the one in the middle. Astaghfirullah. Talking about, at least you're going to take the middle way. This is kufrun billahi ta'ala. This middle way isn't according to someone's opinion. This middle way is according to the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we want to just correct our understanding on this point, inshallah ta'ala. So the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said, this person loves Allah and His Messenger. And we have to understand that a person, they make salah, and they fast, and they make their shahada, and that it's not over. They come to the masjid a week, and then they out for 3 weeks, and then they back a week, and then they out. It's not over with. And we have to understand that it's possible to have sin with a person and disobedience. And obedience, or and belief in Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is as the statement of the believer with the correct belief. He's a sinner with his sins and a believer with his belief. And we have to view the brothers and sisters who are caught out there as believers with their belief and sinners because of their sins. They are brothers and sisters in Islam and they're the believers and we have to help them out. They're only sinners with their sins and they're still believers. And don't think, as some of the brothers, they say, yeah, I saw that nigga in front of the bar. Nigga have the nerve to call himself a Muslim. He's a Muslim, inshallah ta'ala, if he says he's a Muslim. We just have to go get him off the... If you saw him there, get him off. Tell him, come on, akhi. Give him some coffee or whatever. Give him a shower, something. We got to help our brothers and sisters in Islam. And it's not over when a person gets caught out there. And this is the other side of it. We have to tell that person that, listen, akhi, fear him. Or for him, he gonna get the side, you gonna drink pus. You wanna go to the hellfire. Your salat won't be accepted. We have to bring this da'wah to him. And we're looking at it on this other side that he's still our brother and it's still a chance for him. And it's still hope for him. And that we gotta work with him until he dies. And we never let the brother go on. There's no case closed to say, oh, he gonna die on that stuff. We gonna keep on helping him. And we gonna keep on helping him until he shakes it, inshallah ta'ala, or he doesn't. Until he shakes it or he doesn't, we're going to work with him because he's still a Muslim, inshallah ta'ala. The main thing, and this is the last thing we want to end it off with, and that is that the general cure that we had mentioned before for this drug addiction for the Muslims is just belief and good deeds. There's no fancy cure to anything. Islam, alhamdulillah, is simple. And we don't need all of these 9-point programs and whatever programs. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes it very clear. Belief and righteous deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes this clear in Surah Al-Asr, as He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wal-Asr, innal insana lafi khusr, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I swear by the time that humanity is in loss except those who believe and do righteous deeds and help one another to do the truth and help one another to be patient and practicing that truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes it very clear and very easy and very simple for us. If a person wants to get rid of his problem, he comes to the masjid, he establishes his salah, as the salah prevents a person from doing bad deeds. The salah prevents a person from doing bad deeds, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us. And we're going to tell the people, come make the salah. As some people say, people out there with all kind of problems, you talking about come to the masjid, brother all strung out. Yeah, come to the masjid. No matter what problem a person has, his cure is coming to the masjid and establishing the salat. As the salat will prevent you from doing those bad deeds. And then when you come to the masjid, you're going to learn the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, so you can see the details on how to practice Islam, how to obey Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and how to stay away from disobedience. And then you're going to be with the Muslims, so that the Muslims could help you. As Allah commands us in this verse from Surah Al-Asr, to help one another to the truth, and to help one another to be patient. To be patient, in this case, with leaving off that sin. To be patient with leaving off that sin. To be patient with it. It might be hard. It might be difficult. But just be patient until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you. This is what we wanted to present today from this issue of drugs. That it is haram. And it's clearly haram. And that it's very serious. And that the Muslims have to shake it. And on the other side, it doesn't negate anyone's iman. And that a person remains a believer, inshallah ta'ala. And it's on the rest of the ummah to help them and to work with them in order to bring them back to obedience to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's going to be done by coming to the masjid and establishing the salat. And learning the Quran and the sunnah and being with those people who can help you. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We have some questions, inshallah ta'ala. We'll take the sisters and then the brothers, inshallah. If you know a Muslim who has alcohol in their house, should you continue to visit him or stay the night with them if they live a distance from you, or allow your children to stay with them since they are a relative even though they don't drink it themselves? but their spouse does, who is a kafir.
firstly, the kafir gotta go. The kafir and his kufr gotta go. Now we're gonna look at the Muslims. If you see alcohol in a Muslim's house that you know, take it. Sahi, can I get something to drink? You know, if he's close to you, say, no, I'll get it, inshallah, take it easy. You know, we're brothers in Islam, I'll get it. Go and get it and pour it out. Because the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he told us, man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadih. Whoever among you sees a wrong, then change it with his hands. And you don't owe him any money for pouring it out. But he owes you a dua. O Allah, enter him into Jannah and save him from the hellfire for advising me to follow the truth. So the person, they should visit him, of course, and pour his stuff out. If they can't get to it, then advise him to leave it. This deen is nasiha. And I'm not saying in the sense go with him and hang out with him so much until you get caught out there too. But you got to make sure your deen is intact enough to go and to advise them and to keep them away from it. If you feel that you're a little weak yourself, then you should stay away from this house and not visit it, because you have to save yourself from this problem that you're in. And maybe because he's your relative and we can't break family ties, write a letter to him. Call him on the phone or something, in order to keep your ties with them, so you don't get caught out there with in what you used to be into, trying to save your brother. Or if you have to go, then bring somebody with you who's strong enough to prevent everyone from being involved in that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person who's Muslim uses intoxicants and doesn't know the consequences at the time the drugs were used, and the person doesn't repent right away, will Allah forgive that person? Yes, the person stopped using drugs. We have read the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Whoever uses it, his salat won't be accepted for 40 days. Then if he repents, Allah accepts his repentance. What about a person doing something out of ignorance? The person who does something out of ignorance, he still has to repent. A person who does something out of ignorance, he still has to repent. Everybody got to repent. Whether you made a mistake intentionally or whatever, you got to repent for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then once you repent, Allah would accept your repentance, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our repentance.
Abu Muslim, because your prayers or whatever won't be accepted for 40 days, still make amends, right?
Exactly. The brother is asking, just because your salat won't be accepted, that mean you shouldn't make salat for 40 days? No, don't go all the way. It's like saying, because I commit an act of kufr, should I just become a kafir? You know, some of the Muslims who leave the jama'ah, this is kufr. Okay, because you commit an act of kufr, should you become a kafir? As the Prophet ﷺ said, fighting a Muslim is kufr. Okay, you say, it is? I might as well be a kafir then. No, you shouldn't say that. If you commit a sin, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to do right. If he says that your salat won't be accepted for 40 days, you still know you have to make salat. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you to make salat. And that the difference between the believer and the disbeliever is the leaving off of the salat. A person has to make his salat anyway. Some of the salat that we make anyway might not even be accepted. We sit, we come to the masjid, we making salat thinking about all kind of stuff. Not even into the salat. And some of the people don't even know how to make salat yet. Some of the people didn't even learn how to make the salat right. So they still making it. Everybody has to make the salah. And everybody has to perfect their salah, because they're only making salah for their own selves. Everyone is only making salah for him. If he leaves off the salah, who he hurting but him? And if he makes the salah, who can he benefit but himself?
Is it haram to use alcohol on the outer part of the body? Example, rubbing alcohol. Anything that intoxicates is haram. The buying and the selling of it. Would you repeat the hadith about dying with khamr in your veins? And what hadith is it from? This was from the hadith of Imam al-Nasa'i, rahimahullah. That hadith, it was the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu ma, he said, من شرب الخمر فلم ينتش لم تقبل له صلاة ما دام في جوفه أو عروقه منها شيء وإن مات مات كافرا وإن انتشى لم تقبل له صلاة 40 ليلة وإن مات فيها مات كافرا. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, whoever drinks khamr, whoever takes intoxicants and doesn't repent, then his salat will not be accepted. So long as he has inside of himself or in his veins some of those intoxicants. And if he dies like that, then he dies as a kafir. And if he repents, his salat, even if he repents, his salat won't be accepted for 40 days. And if he dies in that state, then he dies as a kafir. This is authentically reported by Imam al-Nasa'i. Did you mean that he dies in a state like a kafir, or will he astray actually, will he actually be a kafir? Please explain. I was explaining, and this is, I'm going to point the people to three of the tapes, which was a part of the Aqidah class, and that is that a Muslim does not become a kafir because of any sin that he commits, so long as he doesn't make it permissible. So long as he doesn't make that sin permissible. A Muslim does not become a kafir because of any sin that he commits, so long as he doesn't make that sin permissible. There are three tapes on that issue, and it's very important for the Muslims who don't know this issue to get those tapes and to understand this issue very clearly, because it's the explanation of the question that the sister is asking. But in general, those statements, those are the statements you use to help the person shake that drug addiction. You, on the other side, you know that no Muslim becomes a kafir because of any sin that he commits. And that La ilaha illallah would earn him a place in Jannah. That La ilaha illallah would earn a person a place in Jannah. No matter what sin he did. So long as he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doesn't ascribe partners with him, he doesn't commit shirk, that person will go to Jannah. So this is the belief of the Muslim, and this is understanding both sides. That person needs to know the seriousness of it, and then you on the other hand needs to know that a Muslim doesn't leave Islam because of a sin. Should you go to a Muslim business if they sell something or some things that contain alcohol? Yes. If the Muslims have some haram in their stores, we should go to them anyway and support them. Advise them to leave off the haram and to support them because they're Muslims. We're still a minority in this land of the kafir, and the Muslim has to stay united. And just because some of us have some sins, and all of us do, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, we shouldn't use that as a tool to divide ourselves. The Muslims always have to unite. This is the brother said, nobody has no problem going to ShopRite and Pathmark flooded with haram. And some of these corner stores with the lottery and liquor and what have you, and we go in those stores, why we can't go to the Muslim store who might have a half of a haram within his store, or one haram, or something like that. The only time when it would be advised, and this is the importance of understanding the issue of Muslims boycotting Muslims, which was a lecture that we had here, if the sunnah is strong, for example, Allah blesses us, and we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us to obtain Masjidu Ahlul Sunnah in the shortest possible time. If we move in that place and Allah makes the Sunnah strong and makes East Army strong with the Sunnah, any type of bid'ah that comes, you just boycott them, cut them off, like Masjidu Dirar, until the people come back to what is correct. If we had the stores in control like that too, somebody try to start a new store, he try to have some pork and stuff in it, just tell him no Muslim to go to him. Put signs on him, don't come to his store. All of the kafirs too. This is the Muslim sinner store who doesn't want anyone to come to it or something. Anything to stop him and to shut him down till he leaves that. That's when the Muslims are strong. But until then, we have to go and to advise the Muslims to do that which is correct. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes, Tahi.
Cigar and cigarette, it's permissible.
The brother, alcoholic beverages. It's not an intoxicant.
Yeah, but sweeping can be
fine. The brother is asking about cigars and cigarettes, and this issue is directly connected to the issue of intoxicants. Cigars and cigarettes, they don't intoxicate. They do something else. That's something else that they do. The ulama of Islam, they call that haram too. And among the proofs of it is... Yeah, I want to use this other one, inshallah. Now I want to get this other one, inshallah, ta'ala. There's a lot of proof to show that cigarettes is haram. And maybe one day, inshallah ta'ala, we'd read the book of one of the ulama showing that cigarettes is haram. But firstly, I just wanted to use this ayah from Surah to Al-A'raf, verse number 157, that really makes it clear. الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إصرهم والأغلال التي to the end of that ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and those who follow the prophet, the messenger, who is illiterate, meaning he doesn't read and write, the one who they find in the Torah and the Injil, the Christians and Jews find him in his book. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, advises them to do what is ma'ruf, what is obedience to Allah and His Messenger. And he prohibits them the munkar, that which is in disobedience to Allah and His Messenger. And he makes permissible for them the tayyibat, the good things, and he makes haram for them the bad things. Cigarette and cigars is nothing other than bad. Cigarettes and cigars is nothing other than bad, and this is from the proof that Islam deals with everything. And we see the general language of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, just saying that Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam makes permissible the good things and makes haram, prohibited, the bad things, and from among them are the cigars. As one of the ulama, he said, I call cigarettes the double haram. Haram, because Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam prohibits those things that are bad. And then haram again because Allah prohibits us, Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam prohibits us from coming to the masjid if we eat onions, because it's harmful to the believers. If something is permissible and it's haram to come to the masjid and to be around the Muslims after something permissible, what about something that's haram? And this is how one of the ulama was saying it's a double haram. So cigarette smoking is haram, and then there's more evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah to show that it's not permissible. I have a Muslim parent, and this is the other note. For those Muslims who, because of their lack of understanding of the deen, they still think cigarette smoking is permissible, say astaghfirullah after every puff to safeguard yourself. If you differ, say astaghfirullah after every puff to safeguard yourself. Because what you want to do when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you realize you were wrong. Don't let no sin, don't let your opinion about something make you a sinner. Say astaghfirullah. Anything that the Muslims are involved in, and it seems like it's a difference of opinion. Some people say it's a sin and some people say it's not, and you do it, and you should stay away from it anyway. As the Prophet ﷺ said, دَعْ مَا يَرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرِيبُكَ. Stay away from that which you doubt, from that which you don't doubt. So you should stay away from it anyway because it's doubtful. But if you don't, at least say astaghfirullah in case you're wrong when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least you met Allah in a state of repentance. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Atta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu," from the authentic hadith of At-Tirmidhi, that the one who repents from a sin is like the one who didn't commit it in the first place. If I have a Muslim parent who does intoxicants and crack, and you go to the parent's home and see their crack pipe, should you take it and throw it away? What should you do? You should break it. But you should understand this hadith too as you break it. The Messenger of Allah, and this is the paraphrasing of the hadith of Imam Muslim, that we have mentioned, whoever among you sees a wrong, change it with his hands. You know he can't beat you, break it. You know he can't beat you, he can't do nothing, just break it. It's haram, akhi, leave it alone. Ya akhi, why you had to go there on me? Because I was haram, that's why. If you feel you can't beat him, then tell him, akhi, you should throw that away, ittaqillah. Fear Allah, akhi, and throw that away. Throw it away. Throw it away. If you feel that, and this is for the children or some of us that are a little weaker, if you feel that even if you said something, they might beat you. Shut up. I'm your uncle. Boom. If you feel that, then hate it in your heart. And there's no belief after not hating it in your heart. Whoever sees a wrong and doesn't hate it, then there's no belief in that heart. You gotta at least hate it. And this is one of the evils of America, that we see the sins so often and so much until we stop hating it. And if we ever stop hating this wrong that we see every day, then there's no iman in our heart for not hating this wrong. Is any form of ginseng an intoxicant? And if so, what kind? After it has sat for some time. I'm going to let the brothers make a verdict. But for myself, I never drank any intoxicants in my life so long as I can remember. Before I accepted Islam. Nor did I touch anything after I accepted Islam. I've always hated that poison since I was a little boy. And alhamdulillah, that had guided me to this in Jahiliyyah and Islam. And when I first had some, the brothers gave me the ginseng. When I smelt it, it smelled just like whiskey. And I said I didn't want any. I'm not saying that to say that ginseng is haram, but I don't know anything about it. The people, they have to look into it to see if it's an intoxicant. And if it is, then it's haram. And if it's not, then it's okay. I haven't heard anyone say that it's an intoxicant. So inshallah ta'ala, it's okay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Are there any questions from the brothers left around this point, inshallah? If not, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who no one has the right to be worshipped other than him. After we send salat and salams on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh Allah, we have wronged ourselves. And if you don't forgive us and show your mercy on us,
we will be among the losers. So, oh Allah, we ask you to rid from the Muslim community drugs and intoxicants in all of their forms. From the men and the women and the children, Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.